Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie Football on this Football Friday. Joe had to attend to some personal matters back in Buffalo. Austin Bechtold is behind the glass with us. And the Steelers-Vikings game is not the only big one that we are talking about today. The biggest college football game this weekend will take place in Happy Valley State College. Penn State, the whiteout game against the Oregon Ducks. And right now on the Fan Hotline, we go back out there and we welcome in a former Penn State offensive lineman, Landon Tangwall, the host of the Landon Tangwall Show, as the Nittany Lions are getting set to take on Oregon in this one. Landon, thanks for hopping on. The Nittany Lions 3-0, but we know that James Franklin not one to win these big games in the big spots. Are you nervous about that going into tomorrow night at 7:30?
Yeah, obviously that's something that's you got to factor into it. But I think at the same time, too, the biggest thing that I'm looking at is Drew Aller. And I'm at the point right now where I feel like Penn State's run game has to succeed up front. That's how they were able to somewhat stay in it with Oregon last year in the Big Ten Championship. And I think it's kind of similar this year where you did go out and get three new wide receivers. From what I've seen studying the tape, I do think it's slightly overinflated how much better people think the wide receivers are this year for Penn State than last year. We went out, we got some proven commodities. I don't know if any of them are special or even really game changers. I think they're good wide receivers. Haven't seen a lot from Devontae Ross, who's supposed to be the field stretcher. He's had one long touchdown, but outside of that, it's been fairly quiet. He was kind of banged up and injured there. And look, Payne is a good slot wide receiver, and Kyron Hudson's a good big body contested guy, but I don't think any of them have those clear separators, and Oregon is in a much better place in the secondary as far as where they were in the Big Ten Championship. So, I mean, for me, if you're Penn State, you've got to be able to run the ball efficiently, and up to this point, Villanova last week was good, as it should be, but first couple of weeks, it wasn't the best for the Penn State offensive line. There was a lot of missed assignments, a lot of blown blocks, and just kind of lack of communication across the board. And you know that is one position that you better be cohesive in, and everybody's got to trust each other. So that's kind of my number one thing going to this game. I don't want the game to be on Drew Aller.
Landon, if Penn State is ultimately going to win this game, what do you think Aller's stat line needs to look like?
Oh, it can be 185, a touchdown, and zero interceptions. And I think something that could be really good is 50 rushing yards, if he can somehow find his way, maybe not even that much, but 35, 40 rushing yards, being involved in the read option game. That's what Andy Kotelnicki likes to do on offense. That's why a lot of people were upset that Bo Prabula left, and yeah, he's performing really well, but this was more of a Trace McSorley, Bo Prabula offense. So you got Drew Aller doing some of this read option stuff and a lot of this RPO things. And early on, it looked like we were even telling him, don't even keep the ball on the read option, because he just wasn't ever keeping it. He kept one time through three games for 0 yards. And so I think you start to add that into the equation. Before, you were not trying to hurt your starting quarterback in against Villanova or FIU, but Oregon, you got to pull out all the tricks in the bag. And this is a very good front seven to a degree. I think their linebackers are actually the ones that kind of struggle in the run game. They just don't fill gaps very well. They're not very the contact that they seek out isn't great, Oregon's linebackers. So I think that's really the matchup to look out for, because last year that's where Penn State kept it close. I mean, 297 yards against a really good Oregon front seven. Obviously, we know one of those guys in Pittsburgh and has someone in Washington that is just filling his shoes, basically, in Amari Washington on that Oregon defensive line. So probably one of their star guys, I'd say, on defense. So there's a lot of great matchups in this game that I'm excited to see. Obviously, you got Jim Knowles and Will Stein going at it. So it's going to be a good one.
Landon, you referenced the offensive line needing to have a big game. They need to run the football well. You also referenced maybe some of the issues with Drew Aller running the offense. If it's like, you know, kind of working to his favor, is that what you would say, a combination of those factors as to why he's off to what I would say is a pretty slow start, given the level of competition that Penn State has faced so far?
Yeah, I mean, look, in six out of his last seven games, Drew Aller has been below 60% completion rate, and that's bad. So, I mean, it goes back into the playoffs. He came out against Nevada, and it was a lot of quick throws, quick outs, hitches, and it was like, all right, Drew looks sharp, and I think that when I say, and if you're a Penn State fan, you might feel almost offended of me saying, I don't think the wide receivers are that much better. We came out with this plan against Nevada, and Nevada was just in drop eight. Like, they were just, safeties were all the way back, cornerbacks were all the way back, and they said, hey, we'll give you the underneath stuff, and we're not going to let you hit a big play. And so that from that, I mean, Drew had like 80% completion rate. It was just a very clean day for him, but didn't stretch the field at all. And so you look at any other games where he's really needed to do it. I think Boise State was a decent game, not statistically wasn't all the way there, but had some really nice throws. But when, you know, it was in the biggest moments, obviously we know what happened against Notre Dame. And then the past couple of weeks, it's really been shaky when we have tried to stretch the field. So there's this idea that the offenses are staying vanilla and they don't want to show much. I mean, I'm here to tell you, as someone who literally played for Andy Kotelnicki, Penn State's offensive coordinator, that's not really a thing. You might show a majority of your offense, and you have different wrinkles that you add for different opponents. You study the film, and that's what game planning is. You study the film, and you say, okay, I think if we add, you know, this wrinkle X here, it's going to do really good against the thing that Oregon does Y here. So that's why I think we're kind of at where you do have to add some wrinkles in, but I'm worried about the passing game in general. It has been just kind of offbeat, and the run game has to continue to carry this one. I mean, I think that is kind of the Penn State motto for a long time anyways. If you don't run the ball effectively, you're probably not going to win the biggest games.
Jim Knowles' defense was obviously very effective, number one defense at Ohio State. Now with Dante Moore coming to town, how do you think that they will attack Moore and try to slow down the offense, an offense that, yes, has different personnel, but really went up and down the field in the Big Ten Championship last year?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing last year, Dylan Gabriel was able to sit back there and just dissect the Penn State secondary. Four touchdowns, 280 yards, and it was because there wasn't much pressure. Penn State had one sack on him, and Abdul Carter was kind of non-existent in that game. So I come into this one with a couple things. I think the pass rush, Penn State's pass rush versus Oregon's pass protection is going to be a big one. Oregon's offensive tackles can be flashy. They're big, they're quick, their upside is very high, but you see moments where their left tackle will get bull rushed, their right tackle will get beat around the edge. I think there's a good opportunity for Denied Dennis Sutton, 33, and then Chaz Coleman, true freshman, 19, who is becoming a freshman sensation out here in Happy Valley, to kind of get after our guy Moore back there. And you know, I look at Jim Knowles and talk about something that's been vanilla. It has been his defense, because he hasn't even played a team in Villanova, FIU, Nevada. They don't pass the ball down the field. So he hasn't really had to show any type of, you know, coverage disguise, which is what he loves to do. And then even more so is his blitz game of faking you out, showing up blitz from the left, and then dropping everybody there, bringing the blitz from the right, and just kind of messing with the mind of that offense. And so I think that's what you see this weekend. Oregon, a lot of things that they've seen on tape, I think they're going to see something different from the Jim Knowles defense. And Dante Moore has played in a couple big games. When he was at UCLA as a true freshman in 2023, he was at, I think Utah was top 10 at the time. That's a pretty tough environment. I think he went to Oregon State too when they were top 15. So he's played in some fairly big games, nothing close to the whiteout. So I'm curious to see how that is handled, because that's been hard for, he's not really a younger quarterback, but a more inexperienced quarterback that hasn't played in an environment like this, and especially against a defense like this. You know, how much does Jim Knowles want to play games and try to confuse Dante Moore into throwing an interception? I think that's something to look at. And like I said, just getting pressure, not allowing him to sit back there. If we can get Oregon in those third and longs, I think that's really when you see the blitz game pick up, and then Jim Knowles can really take over a game. So the biggest thing so far for me are Penn State's run game succeeding and getting home, especially on third down against this Wilstein offense.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Penn State offensive lineman Landon Tangwall is our guest here on 93.7 The Fan, helping us break down the Penn State and Oregon matchup tomorrow night in Happy Valley. Landon, how much of a factor do you think the atmosphere will be? Penn State does get the whiteout game against Oregon. Fox didn't ruin this by making the two teams play at noon. How much do you think the crowd atmosphere plays an impact in this game?
I think it definitely could play a huge impact because, some, you know, if you're Oregon, it changes how you kind of shape the way you're going to call the offense, I feel like, too. I think they need to run the ball effectively because, as I said, you can't get in third down. Then it gets extra loud. I think Oregon, we're also going to see this. So we saw this in the Big Ten Championship last year. Oregon came out of the gate and they said, we're going to run hurry-up offense. And they caught Penn State lacking. Mike linebacker Kobe King was puking in the end zone as tight end for Oregon Kenyon Sadiq was catching a wheel route that Kobe King was supposed to be on, but looked like he was so tired from the hurry-up offense that he just threw up. And so you have that. You look at Penn State. They came back as well, and they were running hurry-up in about the second quarter, and they caught Oregon lacking for a big touchdown to Nick Singleton on a pass play where he ran a wheel route right up the middle. And so that's something that I'm looking at that I've seen from both teams, but especially Oregon. You know, think of it like this. If it is second and 10 and we darted over the middle and now it's third and 2, we might want to use that hurry up offense on from second to third down because it gives the crowd less time to get loud. If you get up, hurry up on the ball, there's just not as much of a buildup. If you snap the ball at 5 seconds left in the play clock, that cloud is based, that crowd's going to be at max volume. So I think that's a tool that Dante Moore and Stein can use. The number one thing that he just cannot do is he cannot put his hands over his ears because Kevin Jennings experienced that, SMU's quarterback in the playoffs. And when the crowd sees the quarterback trying to hear and he's not hearing successfully, they will just attack it. They'll go even louder. So that's something you got to be careful of. And I think it's something that can slow down a very explosive offense. But that's why I say, I think, you know, in every game, it's kind of cliche. You're talking to an offensive lineman too, but that's why Oregon has to win up front in the run game. You know, if they're able to kind of churn the clock down and take the crowd out of it a little bit and sustain longer drives, then you start to live in a better world there. And I also do think that Penn State can get moved up front. You look at the defensive tackle depth up front, it's not very good. It's a bunch of really young guys that are unproven, that have played fairly well against the likes of Nevada and FIU, but have not seen a offensive line like this Oregon offensive line that is really physical and has some of the best blocking tight ends in all of college football.
Given the atmosphere, it's going to be pretty much nonstop silent counts, too, for that Oregon offense. How do some of those opposing teams try to change things up, try to change up the cadence when it is, you know, a one that goes silent on the road?
Yeah, so it's hard because normally the procedure is one of the guards, you pick one of them, and obviously they tap the center, and the center has his head down, and then he snaps the head up, and that is the signal to everybody to move. And it's hard because if you're a defensive end, you can really time that thing up. And then if you're a tackle and it's loud and you're not peripheraling it well enough, you can be really laid off the ball. And then you don't want to be laid off the ball against Chaz Coleman, who has a very good burst. So it definitely hurts the offense a little bit. I do wonder if maybe you do some, ever venture into some under center stuff and get in that just because it allows you, everybody to actually hear you. But if you're Oregon, I mean, that is obviously a factor you're looking at, and you want to do well on third downs. Oregon has done really well on third downs up to this point, but that's why you start to get in those third and sixes. You cannot allow third and six to become third and 11, and then the Penn State pass rush gets to eat on these offensive tackles that, like I said, I think have some places that can be attacked.
How about the two former offensive linemen going inside the trenches? I love it.
Well, I mean, I can't speak like a D1 guy because there wasn't much noise at the D3 level.
John F. Wiley Stadium wasn't going crazy, or the cowbells out up at Allegheny, Donnie. But Landon, plain and simple, is this a must-win game for Penn State? Like, do they need this game? Does James Franklin need this game to silence a lot of the critics?
Yeah, I think Drew Aller and James Franklin are in the same boat. Obviously, they've been in the same boat together since Drew got here, but it just kind of carries over that it is a must-win. And I don't even think it's a must-win just for everybody else. Like, obviously, the media, this would change some things that are said, but if he loses this, it just completely continues the narrative. But I think it's got to be done for James Franklin and Drew Aller themselves, for the confidence of this team. If you want to say that, yeah, they're still in the college football playoff hunt with a loss here, sure, you can say that, but it starts to look really grim. Even if you do make it in at 10-2, if you lose to the two good teams that you're playing that was supposed to be finally the year that you could beat them and you still lose those games, well, obviously no one else is going to have any confidence in Penn State, but how is Drew Aller supposed to have confidence in his team? I mean, that's a real thing. As a player, if you're playing with a lack of confidence, you're going to get beat almost every single time. I don't care if the players that are across from you is better and you have more confidence than him, I'll take the guy with more confidence every single time. So I think this would be a confidence killer for Drew Aller, for James Franklin, for the legacy of Drew Aller's career, projecting even into the NFL of how this could affect him, because I think this affects the rest of the season. So absolutely, it is a must win here for Penn State and Happy Valley tomorrow night.
One thing about James Franklin, as much as he falls short in these big games, he's usually not favored. He is favored in this one, and it's very rare that he slips up in a game that he is favored. So Landon, who do you have winning this game and why?
I've fought on this one. I think where I'm at right now, I think that Oregon will win this one. I mainly because I struggle with the idea that I don't think the Penn State wide receivers can win one-on-one against these Oregon defensive backs. In turn, Drew Aller can't really succeed. And I think if you become at all one-dimensional against a very good Oregon front seven, like I said, sometimes the linebackers slack there, but they run a very unique Saban-ese defense. That's where Dan Lanning, that's the tree he comes from. Mm-hmm. And it can mess with offense. It really adds in an extra run support defender by one of the safeties. And so there is a lot of variables that go into that, but you have a really stout front seven. You have Mateo Uyunglele. You have a couple, Tatum Tuiote, who's one of the best run defending defensive ends in all of college football. I mean, they're stout. They have those overhangs. And so I worry, just because I haven't seen the Penn State offensive line thrive to the level that they should be this year. They were expected to be one of the best in college football, and they've been good at times, but they've really struggled at times too. So it's definitely going to be a prove it moment, because I feel like you have to run the ball well if you're Penn State, if you want to win this one.
Landon Tangwall, former Penn State offensive lineman. Tell everybody where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, the Landon Tangwall Show on YouTube, Landon Tangwall on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff, Facebook, wherever you want to get me. We have a good time. I live tweet the games, all that good stuff. So any Penn Staters, Big Ten, I do a lot of Big Ten as well. I was breaking down a little bit of the backyard brawl as well. Had to turn that one off after a little bit, though.
And Landon, congratulations on your engagement, man. Really happy for you and Sarah.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, brother.
Landon, thanks for taking the time, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There we go. How about that, Limits? That was some good stuff there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.